what God has for us today. Today will be one of those encouraging messages. We're not going to break down the Greek and Hebrew today. We're not going to dig that deep into stuff. I want to show you something it's scriptural. It has to do with the outcomes of your life. Obviously, we have a title of changing your outcomes. Okay, so we're going to press into some things that I see in scripture, that I see it repeatedly, where people had choices to make that changed their outcomes. And so I just want to look at some of those and see what we can do to change some of our outcomes. But first, let's lift it up to God. Father, we are grateful to be here with your people. We're grateful to be in your presence. We're grateful you came in with us. We're thankful for you and your Holy Spirit. We're thankful for you sending Jesus. We're thankful for your glory, your power that shines. You're thankful for your anointing during worship. We're thankful for your love that is abounding between our hearts and between us right here, right now in this room, Father. We pray that you anoint and bless Crystal and her message for the kids and Jamie for the littles. And Father, may they all sense your anointing in this house this morning. Let it be a time of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. Father, we're grateful and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So let me start with a question. How many of you are exactly where you want to be in life? So, at a place where everything is perfect, okay, your relationships are all right on track, going well, your family, everything's on par, your finances are in good order, more than enough, your health, okay, your walk with God, all these things are in perfect harmony. Anybody? How many, okay, would like to see a couple of changes for the better? Okay, most hands. We'd like to see a few things different. You'd like to have that ongoing ailment healed. Okay, you'd like to have a few more bucks in the bank account. Okay, maybe you'd like to be walking with an unstoppable faith, where it just seems like you're on top of the world because you're just walking by faith. What you're thinking about is a different outcome. Most of us would like to see some sort of improvements in the way things currently are. And that's okay. You know why? That's called hope. Okay? We'd like to see something better than what we currently have. We'd like to see it a little different. Hope is a confident expectation for something good, okay? Or a confident expectation for something better, okay? That you anticipate things are going to be better, that there is a better solution, a better outcome, a better place to be than where I'm at right now. Okay, well, here's the kicker. That better outcome that we would like to see is not based on happenstance or circumstance or chance, but it is based on your outcome is based on decisions that you make today. And I don't mean this week, I mean today. What you make, the decision you make in your mind today will affect your outcome for tomorrow, the next day, a year from now, 10 years, 50 years. Your response to the circumstances that come up in your life, your response determines your outcome. How do you handle it when things come up, when they come into your life? Your response changes your outcome down the road. Okay, I want to show you an example of what I mean. It's actually a picture. Okay, let's look at a picture that has a statement written on it. Okay, now, this, if you just read that, it says, I stopped venting and started praying. Because I don't need sympathy, I need strength. Okay, this was something that was posted by someone from an organization I'm a part of. It's called the Missionary Church International. If you don't know, I've been ordained twice. These guys did it once. Okay, they ordained me as a pastor. Okay, this I wanted to show this because it makes a perfect example because it shows two potential outcomes in which one or the other can easily be acquired simply by changing your response to a circumstance. Changing your response changes your outcome. How am I going to respond to what's going on right now? This person says that they started praying instead of venting. Why? Because they wanted a different outcome. The outcome they really wanted, I mean, deep down, they really wanted strength, encouragement, faith, and not sympathy. Sympathy's fine. If you want sympathy, you can get sympathy. This person says, I started praying because, instead of venting, because I wanted a different outcome than just sympathy. Sympathy's fine, but strength is what I need. Okay, do you see the difference? There's an outcome that is going to change for somebody because rather than just venting and bogging myself down with it, focusing on the problem, I'm going to focus on God. I'm going to pray and connect with Him and gain the strength that I need to overcome. Okay, your response determines your outcome. It's a matter of taking your current circumstance, your current situation, and from the very beginning, determining what outcome you want to see. Where do you want to end up with this? Okay, what's the end result? Okay, you have a flat tire driving down a highway, circumstance. What's the end result? I want to get this tire changed, I want to get it cheaply done, and I want to get back on the road, and I want to be safe. Okay, so that's what I'm going to focus on. Okay, let's get this, this, and this. Pray for God, He'll send somebody, whatever, it's going to work out. Rather than sitting there, freaking out, I don't know what to do, I'm stuck, can't do anything, poor me, okay? I want to pick on anybody because I don't think it was anybody in here, but we happen to drive through Burger King. Sometimes we get an ice cream cone, if they have them. And we went to pull up to the drive-thru the other day, and there was a little Honda Civic there, I think from out of town, whatever. And they had a flat tire. And both the passenger and the driver, it was a young man that was driving, were out of the car, standing there, just staring at it. In the drive-thru, I mean, right at the, you know, they're talking to the people. And they're just standing there looking at it. They don't know what to do. Like, you know, I kind of inched forward a little bit, like, hey, just pull it out of the way a little bit, you know, change that tire, no big deal, you probably got a spare in there. But they just stared at it. Then get on the phone, you know, you just see, I don't know, you know, what, flat, you know, what are you going to do? Okay, we felt kind of sorry for him, but we ended up backing up and driving around. Okay, didn't know what to do. Okay, I'm pretty sure the guy probably didn't have Jesus. Just didn't appear that way. Okay, my boys had a name for the way they looked. I can't remember. We shouldn't go there, but anyway, they didn't look like they were probably walking with the Lord. But my point is that they had a circumstance, and they just didn't know what outcome they wanted to see. You know, my response right there, my outcome is I don't want to inconvenience other people. I don't want to damage my car either. I'm not going to drive 100 miles on a flat tire, but I will pull it ahead so that other people can continue using the business. I will change that tire, or I will call the appropriate person or whatever. We'll get something taken care of. Okay, your response determines what your outcome is. Okay, you decide from the moment something happens what you're going to do about it. Now, if your choice is to grumble, to complain, to be miserable, okay, then you're embracing that problem, okay, and you're going to have frustration, you're going to find misery. If you're embracing misery, being miserable, you're going to find misery. If you choose to doubt God's ability, okay, you choose to negate His power, embrace defeat from the beginning. This is never going to get better. Then you will reach an outcome of despair. But on the other side of that, If you choose to embrace God, okay, if you choose to embrace His promises to you in His holy word, okay, you've got the same Bible, you've got access to the same promises. I've told you before, I highlight mine in blue oftentimes in my Bible, so I can just go, oh, there's a promise of God, that's for me. You've got access to the same promises, and you choose to embrace those promises in God's word to me. You and choose to embrace the grace. You embrace what grace has provided for you. You didn't earn it, didn't make it happen, but it's been given. And you choose to embrace that grace. I'm going to thank you, Jesus. I'm going to thank you, Jesus. That's what that is. The unmerited favor, okay, the unconditional love, and the best life possible have all been handed to you on a silver platter. By faith, you embrace the grace. By faith, you reach out and say, I'm accepting and taking in everything that God wants for me. I'm going to embrace that. When you trust God and you believe what He has said to you, okay, if the Bible's written to somebody else, it won't do you any good. If the Bible's written to you, which mine is, it was written to me, sorry. You got to do it your own. But that is written to me, and it will affect me when I believe what's written in there. Those promises, I believe, are for me. And when I believe what God has said to me, I will respond as an act of faith in what He has said to me. If you choose to give praise, if you choose to thank God, thank you, Jesus, then you're embracing the promises of God instead of embracing the problem. Okay, think about the Apostle Paul and Silas for a minute. They got into a pretty tough situation when they had to determine how they were going to respond. Okay, something happened, wasn't of their choosing, but it happened. Now they had to decide what their response to it was going to be. Paul had heard very clearly by God, from God, that he was called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Okay, he was called to take the gospel to them, to share with them. So as he and Silas were fulfilling that assignment, they ended up casting out a demon out of a woman that was tormenting them, and basically it was tormenting her. And so he saw that, and he ends up casting out this spirit out of her. Okay, now that ability to cast out demons is something that was promised to all who follow Christ. Okay, so they had embraced that promise. God gave us this authority and this power. They had embraced that. They shared it with this woman. But one of the masters of that woman that they had set free got very upset when they cast that demon out of her, because that demon was making them rich. Okay? And so they didn't like what had happened. So they demanded that Paul and Silas be arrested and beaten and imprisoned for what they had done. I want to read this to you. It's a lengthy passage here out of Acts chapter 16. It starts in verse 18. And it says, "And this she did many days, tormenting them, teasing them. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." Now for their response. That's what happened to them verse 25 is their response. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. Okay, the story goes on to say that not only did Paul and Silas walk out of that prison that day, they wanted to get out so they could continue sharing the gospel with the Gentiles, but as they did it, they led the jailer and his whole house to Jesus in the process. Okay, Paul and Silas responded to their circumstance, okay, which you could say they were in that circumstance because they were adhering to faith in God and His Word and what God had told them to do. They were just doing what God said to do. Jesus said, "In my name you shall cast out devils." So they were just doing that. They get arrested. They get thrown into the inner stocks, put in the deepest part of the prison, locked in with their feet in stocks. And but they responded to that circumstance by singing praise and giving thanks and glory to God. Their faith in Him embraced the grace, you could say. And it unleashed the miracle that opened the prison doors and removed those chains of bondage from them. Now, their outcome could have been quite different, couldn't it? Think about how it turned out for them. Eventually, they got out, they led the guy to Christ, but it could have been a whole lot different. If they would have resisted arrest, if they would have grabbed somebody's sword and stabbed a guard, okay, if they would have chose to sulk, okay, and to pout, instead of praying and worshiping God, they could have perished right there in that jail. They could have been put to death, they could have just rotted in there. But they responded in faith because they knew that their final outcome, what they were aiming at, was not to die in that prison. Okay, they had not fulfilled all that God had told them to do. In fact, in their minds, they probably, the first thing when they got thrown in there was, of course God's going to get us out of here. This is not our end. This is not what God told me to do. We got more to do out there. Their attitude was, this is not the outcome that God said was going to happen. Therefore, I'm believing for this out here. And it happened. The prison doors were opened. Okay, your response to your current situation has the same ability to alter where you end up. How you respond makes the difference. Giving into fear, okay, giving into doubt and worry, okay, which worry is nothing but focusing on the problem. It's giving into that. It's adhering, grabbing on, holding on to the problem. That's worry. All that just leads to a detrimental, a discouraging outcome of some sort. But giving in to faith, okay, giving place to faith, allowing faith to rise up, believing God's promise of grace, okay, believing God's favor is upon you, is going to lead to encouragement. It's going to lead to victory over whatever that is. Now, the writer of Hebrews describes how many people will perish simply because they do not believe and receive the gospel of Christ by faith. Okay, but he goes on and says, if you do receive the promises by faith, then you're going to enter into this peaceful rest. You're going to enter into this place where you can rest in the promises of God, where you can trust that what Jesus did was enough. That you can trust that God is able. And not only is God able, but God is willing. Okay? And when you get to that point that God is able and willing, you begin to have hope for the future. You begin to realize there is something different for the children of God. The writer in Hebrews says it like this. This is out of the Message Bible. I like the way he worded it. Hebrews 4, 2 and 3 says this. It says, we received the same promises as those people in the wilderness, But the promises didn't do them a bit of good because they didn't receive the promises with faith or by faith. If we believe, though, we'll experience that state of resting that he had been talking about leading up to that. The same promises to two people groups, so to speak, one believed the promises and received the rest, the other did not. They work, they labor, they strive, they struggle, they work in religion. They're beat down, they're heavy-hearted. Okay, they're mean because they're laboring under that. Your response to the promises of God makes all the difference in your life. God's word and his promises to you do not change. God said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay, just because you have not seen the money come in yet does not negate God's promise to you that he will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory through Christ. Just because your healing has not fully manifested yet does not negate his promise to you that he is the Lord thy God that heals you, and that by the stripes of Jesus you are healed. Just because you haven't seen it doesn't make that promise null and void. Reach out and grab that promise and hang on to it and say, God, I'm not letting go. This is for me. Hey, why are they highlighted in blue in my Bible? Because I need them. I go to them. That's my go-to source. I need something. Find a promise. Oh, that's it. Okay, you can cleave to that. God, you said. God doesn't mind if you hold him to it. God, you said. Your word says. It's right here. He knows what he said. His word will not return unto him void. It'll prosper in the thing whereunto he sent it. God said it for a reason. He wants it for you to be grabbed and taken and say, this is for me. I'm going to adhere to this. Continue to speak about and to anticipate the outcome that you really want to see. Don't grumble about the way it is, because that's not the way it's going to be. I guarantee you, things in your life will be different a year from now. What's the old saying about if you haven't used it in 6 months, you might as well throw it out because you're probably not going to use it? Okay, most of us don't. We keep it for 10 years, 20 years. But the idea is that things are going to be different. Your situation is going to look different. Your job situation, your family situation, your life is going to look different 6 months from now. Things do not stay the same forever. So continue to speak about and anticipate the outcome that you want to see. Okay, if somebody asks you, here's a good example. Somebody asks you, how you doing? And you say, I'm fine. My marriage is on the rocks, and you know, I'm broke all the time, and well, my kids are in rebellion. You know, my health's not very good, but I'm fine. Okay, that's kind of being double-minded. Saying things are okay, but it's not where you want it to be, so it's not okay. Why settle for that? Say, oh, this is fine. All my life's in shambles. That's okay. I'm fine. No, it's not. Okay, that's being double-minded. James said it this way in James 1:6. He said, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Okay, you can go through difficult times and continue speaking faith over your life by speaking God's word over your situation. Okay, instead of speaking defeat over your marriage and over your finances and over your kids and over your health, when somebody asks you, how you doing? You respond, well, God of restoration is working overtime on my marriage. God is supplying all my needs. The Lord is working all things together for my children. And I thank you, Jesus, that by his stripes I am healed. That is responding to your current situation, your current circumstances, by speaking faith-filled words over them. They're both a response to the same question. One gets you an outcome that you want to see. You're speaking and believing for the word of God to come to pass in your life. The other is grumbling and complaining and adhering to the problem in worry and doubt. Okay, think about the situation that Abraham and Sarah found themselves in. Okay, remember God's promise to Abraham? He was going to be the father of many nations. Okay, his offspring were going to be like the sands of the sea and as numerous as the stars in the heavens. And when God said that it would be through Sarah, he could have responded and said, "Oh yeah, right. Like that's ever going to happen. She's never been able to have kids, and I'm too old to be making babies. So there's no possible way that that's ever coming to pass." Okay, but Abraham didn't respond that way. Let's look at how he did respond. Romans chapter 4, starting in verse 16 through 21. Says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, that's us, and not to that only which is of the law, but to those also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, and before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not, as though they are, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. God made a promise to him, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, and when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. That's what I'm talking about. It's finding the promise of God for you in your life. What has God said? If you got to find a direct quote from the Bible, use that. If he's spoken into your heart in your prayer time or in a dream or whatever it was, you cling to that. That is God's word for you. Abraham considered not his own body, or the long time barrenness of Sarah's womb. He didn't dwell on the problem. He considered it not. Didn't dwell, focus, obsessed, can't get over. He didn't dwell on the problem, speak the problem, and embrace the problem. He didn't embrace doubt. Okay. Instead, it says he staggered not at the promise of God. He just remembered what God had said and kept steadfastly going towards it. Didn't stumble a bit. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, just giving glory to God. Okay, his response was just to believe the promise that God had made to him. Okay, if you want to see the miraculous manifestations of God in your life, you have to respond in faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Maybe you need to hear your own self speaking faith over your situation. Okay? Maybe you need to hear yourself speaking the word over yourself. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's a perfect one to memorize if you don't have it. Get you through pretty much anything. You can't go on responding to temptations and trials and things that come into your life like the world does. You can't handle life like a carnal Christian does. They respond in the usual way. They rebel, they retaliate, they complain, they do, try to earn, they doubt and go without. As a believer, respond like you're a believer. Respond like, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart. I confess Him with my mouth. Jesus Christ is Lord over my life. Respond in faith. Okay, respond in faith and remain focused on what God has promised you. Change the outcome by changing your response on the beginning of it. Okay, and if you're already halfway in it, start now. That's why I said today you can make changes in your response to what's going on that will affect your outcome a day from now, a year from now. Respond in faith today. Amen. Father, I praise you in the name of Jesus. I thank you that your word gives us life. I thank you that it gives us encouragement. I thank you we can glean and grow from it. I thank you that we can eat it up, Father, and that we can get it in us and that it will do something in our life. And God, I pray right now for all those in this congregation, all those who may tune in, that Father, that they may respond in faith, believing in you and your promises, believing what you've spoken to them, believing in your word, believing in that the rhema word of God that you have spoken to them or written and put in front of them. Lord, that either way that you will give them what they need, that you will provide for them every opportunity to step out in faith, to demonstrate their faith through an act of saying, God, I just trust in you with all my heart, not leaning on my own understanding. In all my ways, I'm just going to acknowledge you, and I know that you will direct my path. Father, lead us forth from here with an encouragement. Yes, and I just say right now to all those in this congregation, if you have things in your life that you would like to be better, most of us raised our hand at that point, I would like you right now to lift your hand to God and say, God, that is me. As an act of faith, say, God, I've got a couple things I'd like to see different. God, I want some change in my life. God, I'm willing to commit my life to you. I'm willing to say that you can have my entire life. It is laid down at your feet. Lord, I will move when you say move. I will move even before that, Lord, as an act of faith. I will step into you and I will trust your promises. If that's you, just raise your hand to him and say, God, I want it. I want to walk by faith. I want to walk in trusting in you and your promises. Father, we praise you this morning. You're a King of kings and Lord of lords. Your glory shines in this room today. Father, have your way, Lord. Open those doors. Close the right doors that need to be closed. Show us more of you, Lord, in a way that is so tangible that we cannot deny. May we be overwhelmed by you and your Spirit. May we be led and guided by faith in you and your power. Lord, you're good to us. You love us. You care for us. We trust you this morning. We thank you this morning. We praise you this morning. And we give you the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen.